the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schoen.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Slashes it, scores! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
He'll flip it up to Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP and my heart is here.
Save it for Missy Ek. Missy Ek. Wrap around attempt. Break to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! It's in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schoen Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93. Brought to you by Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center, State Farm agent Kelly Jepson, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store, the Kaleva Cafe, Peterlin Distributing, Joey's Seafood and Grill, and the Turbo Agency. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schoen, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, Josh, and we're all ready to go. It's the Joe Schoen Hour here on a Monday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in, and get your questions in by emailing us, dj@themix93.com. Hi, Coach. Well, head coach Joe Schoen is with us today. We're ready to go after a weekend at in Madison, Wisconsin. The Huskies took on the Wisconsin Badgers Friday and Saturday night, winning on Friday night 6-2. Very impressive performance by Michigan Tech, especially on special teams, and kind of a reverse of fortunes on Saturday night, it looked like, Coach.
Yeah, I think games were probably pretty opposite, you know, polar opposites of each other. But I thought our preparation was good going into Friday. We revamped everything in a two-week period. We got good responses out of our players, and equated to a great performance on Friday night.
Really amazing how quickly, and I know it's a small sample size right now, but the freshmen, especially the forwards, as far as putting goals up already, just about every forward that has played that's a freshman has already tallied a goal.
Yeah, I don't think it's surprising. I think it's just, you know, athletics is pure. It's reward driven, and I think really that's what you're seeing.
I mean, talk a little bit about these freshmen, Coach, especially the forwards right now. You got Trenton Bliss, Paratino, Bretzman, all scoring their first goals on that Friday night. You know, what is it about these guys that why are they so special, I guess?
Well, they're athletes. They're trying to make a name for themselves. They're competing, which is a big deal. I mean, I don't think it goes any deeper than that. We keep raving about Hallinan, we keep raving about Broachman. Those guys are just playing hard. They're what we want to be. They exemplify what we want to be. They're hard to play against. They're what we want to build around. That type of environment. That's what we gravitate towards. So. They're just special people, and I like how they carry themselves. Grayson Reitmeier is the same way. You know, between the three of them, you hardly hear a word mm-hmm. out of any of them, and they just let the performance speak for itself, and they're no nonsense. When the program is when they're the guys that are emerging as your players, young, you don't expect to be led by freshmen and sophomores, but at times you have to take what you get, and those are good people to be, you know, to for others to watch and see how they're performing and how they carry themselves.
We saw Buckley for the first time this weekend, Coach, and he obviously there's some things that I'm sure he needs to work on, but he fit right in on many aspects of his game, I thought, facets of his game.
Yeah, he did fine. I think he was intimidated on both nights, especially Saturday night. He was intimidated by what they perceived to be the realm of the game. Friday was just focus. We'd practiced, we'd prepared well. And they came in, but I thought he did fine. He showed himself fine.
Well, the Huskies win on Friday night by a score of 6-2. Let's get to some of the highlights here as Michigan Tech really took things off after they gave up the first goal of the game. Seamus Malone scored the first goal of the game. It was on the power play. Kalanick and Weisbach get the assist, and this gave the Badgers a 1-0 lead.
Screened heavily, but it went wide by quite a bit, and back up to the top for Kalanick. Kalanick fires it back over. Top of the circle. Shot and he scores! Malone took the shot. Heavy screen in front of Karusic. I don't think he saw it. And the Huskies pay for the penalty. 1-0. Wisconsin.
Coach, you talked so much about the fact that we were not able to block shots as much as we want. I know that's on the penalty kill still there, but what could we have done better on that play, that first goal?
Block the shot.
Okay.
You know, you're gonna that's gonna be a common theme. I heard in the first part of that clip, I don't think he saw it, so they shot a puck wide, went back up, and then the next one you said heavy screen and they scored, and you know, with how we were killing last weekend, everything worked. They didn't have any goal line, very few goal line plays against us. Everything was just trying to find a lane from the top, and you know, one play I wasn't happy about Saturday, and we'll get to that. But we have two blockers in front of that, and you know, I don't know what it is. It's hard for me as a goaltender to understand when players are out so far. You know, as a goaltender, you fight for every inch you can get out as far as you can, because you know it's just percentages. You get to a certain spot, edge of the crease, outside the edge of the crease, and there is nothing to shoot at. Mm-hmm. When you can have players that are way out on top of it, way out there, that consistently can't get a block, you wonder, because we have a front man, then we have a defenseman in that particular kill formation, that both of them, I mean, even if they one picked a side, the puck should hit one of them. So it's difficult to understand. We've been fighting that since I've been here. I don't know what the solution is. We try different personnel, but you know, there were five people that carried us before. We didn't get scored on when Sturros and Neville were on the ice on the penalty kill. We didn't. We went to number two in the country the one year. You throw Cliff Watson out there, and you throw Shane Hanna and Matt Roy out there, who will do anything, you know, sacrifice anything. And we had a great penalty kill. We had an outstanding penalty kill that was very good. Finding guy, but when they weren't in, we got scored on. If you remember, Mike Neville got hurt the first shift of the game against Denver. And Denver chewed us up on the power play, and that game went up 4-5-0 on us before we could blink an eye in the national tournament. Sturros got two penalties in that first period. They scored on both goals. It's really, you know, we didn't give up anything. We gave up exactly what you would want, a shot with two blockers behind it and a goaltender, so three blockers. We have to find a way to get those guys to give us a little bit better, a little bit more, and not get those pucks through.
But the Huskies come back and tie it up on Trenton Bliss's first career goal on the power play.
Reitmeier will paddle it down in the corner. Huskies need to get two guys on the puck, and they do. Control it back to the point now. Swoyer will slide it over. Back up top again. Donahue for Swoyer. Donahue over. Shot scores! Nice tic-tac-toe play by the Huskies. Bliss with the goal, and he pounds it home. And that will be his first goal as a Husky, a pretty one on the power play.
A great side-to-side motion, Coach, on that revamped power play that you had up this week.
Yeah, we put some time in that, and it was good. It was great motion. Found a seam pass. The movement was good. We got the puck in the hands. What I really like about our group is that we have guys in the right positions. For especially for like the power play, we have Hallinen in the right spot on the power play. We have Lucchini now in the right spot in the power play. We have Jackson in the right spot in the power play. To make things work the way we wanted them to work symmetrically, this is the best we've had really since back when Patan and Carroll and those guys were here, to have everything we want with left right shot combinations in the place that we want. Some guys have just emerged that way quicker than we had anticipated them doing, and I think it bodes well for us on moving forward on the special teams power play part of the game.
Trenton Bliss from Seamus Donahue and Colin Swoyer on that power play goal. They go up 2-1 and then 3-1 with two more goals in the first period.
Cross over there for Gould. Got it. Picked that one up off of the boards. Gould mishandled it. Had it poked away from him. Back to the point. Now over. Here's Donahue with it. Sorry, that is Keegan Ford. And a shot for the point. This one saved. Rebound! Scores! And banging it home for the Huskies. Perrottino, his first goal as a Michigan Tech hockey player, and Michigan Tech with a 2-1 lead on another power play goal. Keegan Ford will push it across the line. Here's a pass over. Here's a shot. Scores! Another goal! Bretzman and the Huskies making a 3-1 lead. Bretzman fired it from the left dot and beat Barry clean on an even strength goal, and the Huskies lead it 3-1.
A couple of nice goals there, Coach. Brian Hallinen in on that that second goal we just heard with Alec Bretzman's first of the season, giving us a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, what a great pass on that play. On the first goal, they got a block, and the puck came right out to Paratino. And what I liked about that with Tommy, he's a goal scorer. Tommy's got a history of scoring goals. And he didn't just, you know, baby that puck in the net. He drove it into the back of the net hard on a rolling puck to some degree and put it in the net. And he was in the right spot. He played an excellent game Friday night.
He did. And I asked him about the goal. I said, was that rolling a little bit? He said it was on edge.
It was on edge. And he drove it. You know, that was a Blake Piedla type goal. He drove that thing into the back of the net. And he covered on that line a lot. He was a third man covering high and tracking and our third line on the D zone entry and things like that. He did an excellent job in the hockey game. The second goal, what a great play. Hallinen fed it across, a nice feed. Great vision on his part, and got into Brochman top of the circle. That was an NHL style shot, up underneath the bar, glove hand, and it was in and out of the net quick. It was a great shot, great play by two players that I'm just enjoying coaching immensely.
We go to the second period. We're leading by a score of 3-1. We make it 4-1. Gavin Gould breaks free and was able to find a loose puck on another power play goal for the Huskies.
Gould double teamed. It bounces to the top of the circle, and the Huskies will hold it in. Back over now for Smith. Shot blocked in front. That one hit a skate. Kalanick hurting on that one. Loose puck in front. Another chance for the Huskies. Open net, and they score. Gavin Gould put it in the empty net with the second opportunity for the Huskies, and they go up 4-1 on another power play goal, their third of the game.
Well, everybody kind of in tight right there, Coach, on that goal. Jake Jackson, Jake Lucchini were kind of ended up getting picked up by the defenders, and Gavin Gould was the one guy that wasn't.
Yeah, you said it. We had a lot of bodies that got into hard ice, and that's what you want to have. You know, when there's traffic and you know, you're going to get outnumbered. You got to get yourself free and battle and win a battle. And they did that. And Gavin did a really nice job of getting open. The other guys were around the net drawing coverage. So rebound popped out. We had good symmetry on both sides of the goal. And the puck popped out to the open side, and it was an open net. And Gavin's not going to make a mistake. He did a great job of putting that in.
We go to a 4-1 lead at that point, but the Badgers come back in the third period and make it a 2-goal lead. Made things a little bit nerve-wracking as Sean gets the second goal for the Badgers.
Almost went off of the goaltender and in. Watch out, Jerusik didn't know where it was. Back to the point, shot, save, score! Oh, it's just a matter of time, and the Huskies could not get off the ice after that icing call, and the Badgers right back in this game, 4-2.
Well, you look at that goal, and you kind of felt it might be coming because we had that icing call, and everybody was pretty tired out there.
Yeah, and we talked about getting a timeout on that play, and the guy said that they were fine, they could go and get through it. That, you know, very similar to the Duluth thing on puck possession in the offensive zone. Same line out there. Smitty's line got just trapped out there for a long time, and then it's a lot of standing around. And, you know, as you said, they were beating us to all the loose pucks. They're seeming, getting in and out and full control on it. And again, another shot from the point, deflected in front and was able to score.
Two more goals, though, for the Huskies in that third period to kind of put this thing away, including Jake Jackson's first of the season.
Hands it off there for Lucchini. Back up top now, Donahue steps up. Lucchini will kick it to his forehand. Passed over, scores! Jackson gets the goal! A power play goal for Michigan Tech. And they're back up by 3-5-2 with 6:26 left to go in the third period. Huskies want to keep it going here, still on the power play with the major penalty against Doogie. Pass to the front, scored again right there, and it's Bretzman with his second goal of the game. Tipped in front on a quick pass, and the Huskies are blowing this open now, 6-2 on their fifth power play goal of the game.
Certainly a thing going on right now between Brian Hallinen and Alex Bretzman. Those two really read each other very well, and Hallinen has been good at getting him the puck.
Yeah, they were great. Both those goals were the same shot pass type goals. They were both great plays. The first one by Jackson, actually, he deflected it, and it went off of a Wisconsin player's shin pad and into the net. Hallinen made a great play to Brochman, who went hard to the net. He was right into the crease driving, and Brian Hallinen beat them to the loose puck and threw it in front of the net to a quick tip in front. It was a great goal, and it was, that 6-2 lead felt pretty good at that time.
After getting shut out with power plays, Again, the Duluth series, the Huskies go 5-for-8 on that Friday night and boosted their power play percentage right up to, I think, 33% after that Friday night game, and did well on the penalty kill, too, just gave up that 1-for-4, and I thought looked a lot better on the PK.
Yeah, and again, it was a shot through coverage. And you called it perfectly. The first one went wide. The goalie didn't see the puck. That's great. That means that he had to shoot it by something. Second one just, the second one found nothing but net. So we were happy with our penalty. I was really, actually, for the most part, happy. I didn't like our zone entry on the penalty kill. I thought that we backed in and gave him, but we got in the zone no problem either. That extra ice on the big rink makes it hard. Mm-hmm. You would just like to contest it a little bit more than we did, be a lot more aggressive than we were in a lot of areas on the penalty kill. We'll shore that up. But for the most part, our movement was good. Our sacrifice might not have been where we want it to be.
Saturday night's game, Huskies were going for the sweep, but a different feel to that game, Coach. Did you feel anything different right at the start of the game, or at what point did you feel we're not playing as well as we did Friday night?
Right from the very start of the game, you could see that, like I said a little bit after the game, there seemed to be, I'm going to say, nervousness and in some ways fear in some of our players. I could feel that they needed to settle down. Fear of failure, fear of, I felt some of that. Actually, on the first timeout, I think we talked about this after the game on Friday, I told the team, I said, listen, fellas, called them together, and I said, this isn't ultimate fighting. No one out there is trying to kick you in the head and knock you out. We're not playing against a team, an overly aggressive team. Go out there, enjoy the game, and play hard, compete hard. I thought that after they scored their first goal, again, another one of those goofy power play goals, we were able to get a great play again on a goal by, I believe, it was Grayson Reitmeier on a great feed that he got, went in and scored, very similar to the Brodsman goal the night before. We tie it up 1-1. I don't know if that was the first or second goal. We get a power play goal by Hallinen, which was our second goal. We go up 2-1. We're in good shape at that point. The turning point for me, and we were competing, we were turning things around, we were getting settled down. The turning point for me was we killed a power play with, I think it was under 5 minutes left. We killed a power play, and as soon as that was over, we took a very bad penalty. Behind the play, our guy was just coming out of the box, and behind the play, we had a guy take a very selfish penalty. We go right back in the box, and then, There's an interference that happened. That happens. Things are going to balance out. But a guy skated up to the top. We were doing a better job of blocking. We got Brodsman up top, a freshman. He was doing a good job of fronting that. They brought a guy up to pick Brodsman and flipped his stick out of his hand, which should have been interference. He skated up behind, flipped his stick out of his hand, and then picked him. And that allowed a left-hand shooter to step around him and get a shooting lane. Should have been interference on that call for sure. But those things balance out. They balance out. And again, the secondary man didn't get a block in front, and it scores. So now it's 2-2 going into the intermission. That we got a power play at the end of the right at the very end of the period, 30 seconds left or whatever it was. We come out to start the second period, and totally go on to give up a shorthanded goal with a turnover in the defensive zone. They had two men there. We had three men around the play. We just went into snooze mode, and they got a guy, made a backhand pass to the front of the net through two guys, and we were soft on the coverage in front, and they scored to make it 3-2. That power play goal with a weak penalty, and then that shorthanded goal with all veterans on the ice were the two that really changed the tempo of the hockey game. You could feel the energy rise by Wisconsin, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and you could feel. And then on my part, I go from 0 to 100 on competitive level. That's me. I'm competitive. Everybody knows I'm competitive, but we have players that I don't think reacted well to that environment. In honesty, I'll say that. Just by their natural character. And we have our other players that did respond. Our competitive guys respond well to that, and our non-competitive guys don't. And I have to make sure, for my part, that I'm maintaining an environment that allows guys, knowing the team that we have, that allows guys to relax and try to play, if that's possible. I don't know how how you do that. I don't know if we would we go into a shell regardless. You could just feel it on the bench, and I'm trying to get the guys, fellas, we're fine, play this game, compete, battle, get in there. And again, the competitive guys, the naturally competitive guys, I think still played well. We still got great play out of some of those young guys. And then I think a lot of guys, though, don't compete. We went into panic mode, I think.
We were down 1-0. Got a couple of really nice goals in that first period, as you talked about. Brian Hellinan factoring into both of them. That's why he ended up being our number one star, or our superior player of the game, I should say. He made a great pass over to Grayson Reitmeier.
Going down on the play was Mersch. He's a little slow to get up. Huskies come back on the rush now. Cross the line. Here's Hellinan with the pass. Here's a shot. Scores! What a goal by the Huskies to tie it up 1-1 as Grayson Reitmeier buried it past goaltender Lebedev. We are tied with 11:31 left to go in the first period. Bliss looking in front. Back to the point. Here's a shot. No. Held on to. Back up from Hallinan to Swoyer. Swoyer for Hallinan. His shot scores! He went short side and Hallinan with the goal. His first as a Husky on the power play. The Huskies lead it 2-1.
That power play goal for Hallinan was at the 12:37 mark of the first period. The Huskies with their second 2-1 lead of the week, and a couple of really nice plays right there.
Yeah, and again, you're hearing the same names. You're hearing the same names, and those, you know, I'm going to go back to it over and over and over, and I want the message to come in loud and clear that in tough times, let's just say that was a tough environment. Things, let's just say that you gravitate towards competitive people. I mean, if you're in a battle, and I don't care what it is, military, whatever, I'm going to go behind the guy that I know is ready and has it within him, and he'll go right to the very end. Soft people will gravitate towards softness. Hard people will gravitate towards hardness. I gravitate towards hardness in a competitive environment such as a competitive sport like hockey. That's in me. I'm a competitive person. That's why I stayed in the game and I'm not out doing some other type of job. And you know what? I think that's a life thing. You know, there is no right and there is no wrong. But I think even now, you know, you come through times in an evolution, let's say, of the United States. You come through times of toughness, of hardness, and people gravitate towards your leaders, maybe your military leaders, or maybe whatever, as your politicians and things, because they're the ones that they're leaders that you gravitate behind. And then now there's such a diverseness in I think, like, let's say, a side of politics that wants to be taken care of to some degree, which is fine, you know. Wants to be taken care of, like, let's have a safety net, or a side of government that wants to be in control of their own lives. And there's no right, there's no wrong. I'm not advocating anything. I'm just saying that there's such a diverse polarity. You can see it every day. I think in athletics, it's especially competitive athletics, it's man to man. You want to be in control of what you do, and not be reliant or dependent or sit back and wait for someone else to kind of take care of you. You're not in that type of realm where you can sit back and enjoy life and let someone else kind of take care of you. And I don't want this to come across the wrong way, another Joe-ism, but we're in we're in a competitive business, and I, as a coach, as a highly competitive person, gravitate towards competitive people. You know, I'm looking around the bench for competitive people, and I don't think there's any secret. I'll give you two analogies on it. You see the good things that happen in a tough game like that happen with competitive people, guys that are getting to hard ice. We're at Bowling Green last year, which turned our year around, and Jake Lucchini gets called out of the locker room after the game by an NHL team that actually loved him on Saturday night after a 4-0 win with a depleted lineup, a makeshift defense, everything against us. And what they loved is the skill he played with compete and grit. The most competitive game he ever played with us. Figure it out. You know what I mean? Figure it out. And that's why I go from 0 to 100 on intensity level, because it's like, figure it out. You know what I mean? Like your best people, and I'm not criticizing anybody, but we're looking for accountability, and within accountability, you're looking for, this is how we do things here. And right now, we have our most competitive people are our young guys. So why do we get excited about them? Because they're getting things done playing the game a certain way. And we want our entire group playing that way. And if our examples come out of that, like last year they came out of a lot of Misiak, and they came out of Ray Bryce, and they came out of, and that's why I gravitate right now. Like, I've been thinking about Ray Bryce. Ray Bryce is beating the heck out of himself mentally, which is showing in practice. He's fatiguing. Because, and he's tired all the time on the ice. He looks, because it's just eating. He wants to do so well, but you gotta, you know, figure it out. Don't mentally drain yourself because you're fighting it mentally. And, you know, but when the times are tough, in my mind, I gravitate because I know that he'll lay down in front of a shot. If nothing else, for the penalty kill, if we can get him to figure out the penalty kill, he'll do whatever we ask. I gravitate towards getting behind and joining in with aggressiveness, with competitive people. And I have a hard time. I'm going to have to continue to work on that in creating and making sure we have an environment for all to grow and for that confidence to come. And where I struggle is I want that to be there with the guys that have been through it. And I want them to show the way. And we're getting it right now out of like we had it Friday because we were prepared, right? We 2 weeks of preparation, we were ready. You know, going into that first game against Duluth, we played a good hockey game. We were prepared going in, and then the competitive side of it comes out. Let's throw out everything else, and let's just say, okay, now, and that was the talk before the game on Saturday. Fellas, now let's go to war for and settle this thing down and make sure that we stay in the game early. We didn't come out that way. We came out soft. Maybe that type of talk frightened some people. But it shouldn't. We're in a competitive sport. You know, if Nick Saban can't tell his team that he's going out for war, you know, if Jim Harbaugh can't tell his team, hey, we're going out for war, fellas. You know, right now, it's a battle of wills to start, then let's settle in.
All right, very good stuff, Coach. Final score Saturday night, 6-2. 40 shots for Wisconsin, 26 for Michigan Tech. Huskies were only able to muster 4 shots on goal in that second period, and that was really kind of, as you mentioned, the
same as Duluth.
Yeah.
Second period
yep.
was that they scored 5 on us in the second period.
All right, we'll take a break. Be back with more. Get your questions in. DJ at themix93.com. It's the Joe Schon Hour continuing right after these.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Questions about your retirement deserve more than just a call center. Hi, I'm John Nelson, your Houghton Edward Jones financial advisor. Let me show you the difference personal attention can make when it comes to your goals. Contact me today, 906-482-8680. That's 482-8680. Personal attention, that's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your one-stop shops for all things authentically Michigan Tech. Our stores offer fresh and sporty Michigan Tech apparel, souvenirs, and unique gift options. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Email campusstore@mtu.edu to join Husky Deals and be the first to know about our sales, promotions, and new offerings. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. Warning, shopping the University Images in the Campus Store may cause smiles, happiness, elation, customer satisfaction, and or accolades from friends and family.
Got the fender bender blues, people stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new, it's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay. Without delay. Don't drive that wreck for one more day. Beat the fender bender blues. Advanced tech body repair. Advanced.
This is Bob Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. If something were to happen to you today, would your family be left with a financial burden to cover your debts and final expenses? Would they be able to maintain their same lifestyle without you? No matter your age and situation, there is an auto owner's life insurance policy to meet your unique needs, and an auto owner's life policy is likely more affordable than you think. Stop in at the Turvo Agency in Hancock and see how a life insurance policy from auto owners can provide the protection your family needs and deserves. Think life.
Back to the Joe Shawn Hour here on Mix 93 WKFJ. Just taking some look at some other WCHA scores from over the weekend. And Ferris State had a good weekend, Coach. And a weekend they kind of, I think, Bob probably needed and that team needed, beating Anchorage in both games.
Yeah, they did a good job. Again, balanced them, Lake State. Lake State swept this weekend. They swept, I believe, Huntsville.
Mm-hmm.
A great win by Bowling Green, blowing out Ohio State.
Yeah, how about
8-2,
that?
8-2, and then tying the next night. So some really good games. Our game on Friday helped our league for sure with our pairwise, with a big win over Wisconsin. So some really good wins by our league. Mankato continues to roll as they always will. They do things well there. So I think all in all, it was a good weekend for our league.
Northern Michigan with a 3-0 win over Bemidji State on Friday, and Bemidji hangs in there and scores a late goal Saturday night to win one at Northern Michigan. That was, a very important series for both of those teams. They match up pretty well, and I still think Northern Michigan is going to be one of those teams to really watch, especially in the second half once they figure everything out.
Especially on their ice.
Yeah.
Right now they're struggling a little bit scoring. That 3-0 win on Friday was two empty net goals. Mm-hmm. Bemidji pulled their goaltender twice late in the game to try to get into it, and they gave up two, so it was a 1-0 game. So two low-scoring tight games. I think as a whole, offensively, as you would expect, Northern Michigan had the advantage on it. They have Driscoll, I believe is his name, is a tremendous goaltender for goalie of the year last year in USHL as a freshman for Bemidji, so they've replaced their goaltending issues. And they're always well-coached. They always do little things well. So, I think our league, I think that there's some top end teams. Bowling Green is shown with a complete veteran lineup, mm-hmm. Veteran goal, veteran defense, All American defense, veteran forwards that they're gonna be hard all year again to play against. And then I think once you get past that, I think that there's going to be some balance and maybe some teams climbing and some teams not climbing. So it should be a great league.
You mentioned Lake Superior undefeated, and they beat our next opponent, Alabama Huntsville, in both games this weekend, 4-3 and 2-1. And, Huntsville, a team right now, they have guys that can make plays. It just hasn't been going in the net for them.
And Lake State's playing well. Lake State went in and beat Merrimack twice. Scott Bork, former Laker coach, is, he's a new coach at Merrimack. He's been at Providence. Lake State went in and won two one-goal games there. And then and Huntsville's also played. Lake State's a good team, is what I'm saying. They're playing well right now. And they often have good starts. They often get out of it. I mean, a few years ago, they were undefeated, if you remember, like 6-8-0, 7-0, whatever it was, out of the gate. And then Huntsville's also played a very good Arizona State team that I believe swept this weekend as well. So they're getting, Arizona State's beating some teams, and they have 4 or 5 wins. Walker, I believe, has 7 or 9 goals, mm-hmm. leading the country in goals. So they're doing a great job there, too. So they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough, we're looking forward to the games. We have quick turnaround to prepare and get ready for them. We'll be flying out on Wednesday, so it's going to be a great test for our team.
Going back to Arizona State, have you heard anything lately, Coach, about them? Trying to get into a league. Has there been any more talk about what league they might eventually get in?
I haven't heard.
I haven't either.
I think everybody's still waiting for them to break ground on something. That's a that's a big deal. And they're holding out. They want to do something different until they get everything actually in place there for them to be able to do that.
All right, quick time out. We'll be back with some of your questions. If you want to get a question in, you still have time to do so. It's DJ@themix93.com. Questions coming up after this on the Joe Shawn Hour.
Taco Man. You know I got to be a Taco Man. I said Taco, Taco Man, yeah.
You can be a Taco Man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish tacos starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a Taco, Taco Man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a Taco Man.
Think about your home. What do you see? Do you just see two stories or the stories of your toddler's first steps? Now think about your car. Do you see an odometer reading or your kids reading in the back seat? Other insurance companies just see a house. They just see a car. But a State Farm agent sees what your home and your car really mean to you. So why not give them the protection they deserve?
Call me, Kelly Jepson, at my State Farm agency in Houghton at 482-1210.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No,
sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese. Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke. My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
Mealtime can lead to a lot of debates. Sure, we may disagree on what makes the perfect meal, but the one thing we can agree on is that it will always taste better with an ice-cold, refreshing Coke. So before your next meal, be sure to head to your local grocery store for everything you need to make mealtime right. Serve with a Coca-Cola.
Now at Harder's CarQuest in Calumet. Purchase a $6 bundle, which includes a 7-quart drain pan, Scott's shop towels, multi-purpose funnel, and Gojo hand cleaner. Offer valid through November 28th at Harder's CarQuest in Calumet.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place, and you'll discover. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Joe Sean Hour continuing here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Let's get to a couple of questions that have been emailed in. Goats went down in that second game on Saturday night with an upper, or sorry, in the first game, Friday night with an upper body injury. This question is around that, Coach. Will Goats be available for Huntsville?
That's a doctor thing. He'll be seen today and looked at, and if he's available to us, he's been our bestie. He's been our best defenseman in every statistical category. So, again, another freshman and a late add to our team. So he's done a good job. But, you know, whether he's available or not will be. If we're told he can play, then we'll make a decision on what percentage he'll be and how and if he can play. And if we're told he can't, then we have guys that'll get an opportunity to step up. And we welcome seeing that.
Is he the only major injury right now on the team?
Yeah, I believe so. I think everybody else is pretty healthy.
Next question is, what about goaltending, Coach? We saw good performances, solid performances by Carroll in the first weekend, solid performances by Jerusik in the second weekend. And how do you go forward from here now?
The best guy. We'll play the best guy that plays, I think. You know, the goals that went in, I don't think were bad goals on Devin. The goals that went in, I don't think were bad goals on Matt Jerusik. Robbie Badun has been practicing well as well. He can, I think he can play. So I'm confident in our goaltending. I like our goaltending. As long as we protect them a bit and if we do our jobs in front of them, I think that they'll give us that first save. And then from that point, it goes back to the old thing. Now it's let's battle and get that loose puck. But I think if our goalies can see that first shot, I think that they're capable of making a save. I think our goaltending has been a strength through the first two weekends. I'm happy personally with our goaltending.
You talk about compete so much and so much talk about the players and needing to have that competitive edge in every single shift. That goes the same for goaltenders too, right?
Oh, in everything. Hey, yeah. compete is a good, one of my dear friends, Walt Kyle, and I'll clean this up obviously, and I've said it before, but you know, Walt said, Joey, I'd much rather tame a tiger than paint stripes on a kitty cat. You know what I mean? On a cat. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather tame a tiger. Athletics, you know, there's a reason why, you know, I guess I stuck around this, why Kevin, Luke, why all of us are in coaching, because we have a competitive edge and we love to be a part of a group and we love to teach. We athletics is competitive, you know, in any venture. Now, if you get into individual athletics, bowling, golf, or whatever, it's all on you. You can't blame anybody else. You know, ultimate fighting, call whatever you want. You can't blame anybody else. Boxing, that's great. You have your chance to earn your payday. You don't split it with anybody. That's fantastic. When you get into team sports, you do that because you love to be part of a group. You love that synergy. You love that camaraderie. You love not, you know, hopefully not letting a team down. And you are so much carried by the mood of the team. And the mood of the team is in a lot of ways, we want to be a hard team to play against. If we're not a hard team, and all the success we've had, you know, I'm walking off the ice after the second period last year, talking to a very good friend, Paul Pooley, who's an unbelievable coach with Notre Dame and Jeff Jackson. But Paul said, "Wow, you guys are tough to play against." And that's a great, I mean, I don't want to hear any other comment, win or lose, whatever. Man, you guys are tough to play against. I want to be tough to play against. And when you're giving up goofy shorthanded goals and not blocking shots and doing those things, you're not tough to play against. And again, it's my job to create an environment that gets that, and you know, and I'm all about accountability, but I also have to be about teaching, and I understand that I have to back up a little bit and make sure that we're not so driven on that we are still teaching and nurturing and seeing if we can't get, you know, in some ways we can't maybe make a kitty cat a tiger. But maybe we can, you know, get that kitty cat to at least be a mean kitty cat, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, at least, like, get out of your comfort level and battle. The first thing that has to happen, though, is we have to be in it for the good of the next guy. Everybody's willing to sacrifice. I mean, you aren't going to find anything more competitive in any sport than a mother that, you know, with a kid playing. Like, that, they will drive coaches out of coaching. I mean, my kid is going to, you know, I mean, you got to be, and you want to see competitive. Like, they'll go to the grave fighting for their children. It's sacrificing for others, if that's in your DNA, which you want it to be, for the good of the whole. You want that versus people who like to stand alone and just make it easy on me. Take care of me. You know what I mean? Don't make me look bad. You want guys to step up and say, "Hey, man, this is the way we do it." You want your upper class. This is the way we do it here. You know, right now, the guys that show that quiet leadership, that lead by actions in a lot of ways, are Hallinan, are Broitzman, are Grayson Reitmeier, and it's no secret they're having success. You know what I mean? It's just no secret. That quiet, Brent Baltus last year, I mean, that quiet leadership where they let their actions speak, then when they look at somebody, then it's like, I can talk. You know what I mean? I can talk. I can hold you accountable because I'm holding myself accountable. And that's what we have to get to. We have to be hard to play against every night. We can't go into shells because we know that we're going to get a team that just got, you know, like Duluth. Friday night could have been our game. Wisconsin, Friday night, outplayed them for sure. Saturday, they're coming after us. Good. That's a great battle. What a great opportunity. You know what I mean? If that's in your DNA, if that's within you, you know, and that's what we have to find. We have to keep recruiting those kind of guys. I like our freshman class in that regard for the most part. It's a good battle. I want that battle. You know what I mean? I want that battle. That's what we have to, and we have to make sure that the guys that are bordering, and I have to make sure that I create an environment that just lets them know what we want in a positive way, and doesn't accept whoever you are when we don't get that type of effort.
Next question for Coach. Coach, why weren't some of your older players and a goaltender we saw last season, me and Todd Kielinen, Robbie Badoon, Raymond Bryce, etc., traveling with the team this past weekend?
Tyler Rockwell is another one that's playing on the big ice. That's a good question. We're videotaping every day. We're videotaping every practice. We go back and watch every practice on performance and rate players every day on how we think they're getting it. I've talked a little bit about Ray already. I never question Ray Bryce in any way, his compete level, his dedication, his heart. I never question it in every way. We have to pick the guys that we think give us the best chance of performing and the guys that practice the best. We felt that other guys, and I think we saw that Friday. We saw that the guys that we picked to go played extremely well. they played extremely well. You know, we played a great hockey game. So I think we did. I think we did the right thing in that regards. Now, though, what's in my mind is when it comes to the point of compete level, do I gravitate and say, okay, this is what we want versus, you know, the guys that can maybe make more plays and you know, the combination of both. It was big ice. Skating was what came into play in our thoughts and things like that. We've now had a look at all of our defense. Every one of our defensemen have played. We have had a look at a young crew. We've had a look at all of them to now form some opinions. So, and you can only bring so many guys. But I will say this, from what I've seen from 2 weeks, I'll be inclined to go with a different lineup, regardless of how well we play Friday, to go with the most competitive lineup I can face, regardless of who that is, on Saturday. And if people want to question that, question all you want, and I'll say, you didn't sit behind the bench the last 2 weeks on Saturday night and have to try to encourage a bunch of guys to get after it. You know what I mean? I want to put the guys on the ice that we know in our heart, the best that we have, will get after it in battle.
Well, that's good stuff right there. And the Huskies will open up their WCHA season at Huntsville, Alabama this weekend. And both games are 8:07 start, 7:30 pregame here on Mix 93. And we'll be back with more of the Joe Schaan Hour right after these.
Hi, this is Julie from the Reliance Agency. Much like the weather, your life could change at the drop of a hat. Don't be caught unprepared. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but no matter what happens, you can make sure your loved ones are provided for with a life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance. Meet with a local independent agent and secure a policy now to rest easy knowing you're protecting the ones you love. Visit the Reliance Agency in downtown Lawrence today or call us at 906-524-6330.
Hello, it is I, thine king. Today, I speaketh on behalf of Bud Light and the most sacred of traditions, the tailgate. In my days as a collegiate liege, I hosted the very first tailgate in yon woods. We didn't have coolers or sports. We were basically just in the woods. But we had Bud Light, so a tailgate it was. Anyway, I invite you to continue my legacy and enjoy Bud Light courtesy of me at your tailgate. Also courtesy of me. Dilly dilly.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
The deals are falling off the shelves at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All Coke and Pepsi 2 liters are 2 for $3. All 6 packs of bottled beers are on sale. All 7-Up 20-ounce product, only 99 cents. Check out the great deals on all your energy drinks, wines, and much more. See the expanded line of Keweenaw Alpaca gear to keep you warm throughout the fall and winter. And don't forget to get your hunting licenses and bait at Bucko's. All sales do not include tax and deposit.
The Kaleva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations 7 days a week with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaleva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays 8 till 9.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Coach, as you look at this, we've gone 2 games into this 8-game of being on the road stretch. There's a lot that can happen. Obviously, opening up the WCHA season this weekend, we've got a couple long trips on our hand, and it is important, obviously tough for you guys in a short week to figure out who you are going to bring on these trips.
Not very hard.
No?
I know who right now who we're bringing on the trip, so... We have to know for travel purposes, but I have a good idea what I want. I've talked to the, you know, Brooks and I had a good talk yesterday. So I think I've made it pretty clear here what I'm after. And again, I think we have to continue to create a learning environment. That's I think number one for me is to continue to create a learning environment. where it's, you know, it's there's demand set as to performance level, and then as guys within that learning environment, positive learning environment, grow, hopefully that, you know, we want that competition where guys evolve past or guys evolve up, or continue to get better and so. But I think after four games, we're getting a feel as to where we're at.
Wanted to have you talk more about Mitch's Misfits and just the fans down in Madison this weekend. We had, there was talk from some of the Wisconsin fans on how do we get our fans. I mean, Wisconsin hockey fans are some of the most notoriously great fans in college hockey, and yet there was envy going on throughout the weekend because of the Misfits and everybody else that was down there.
And we also have to mention the Pep Band. Like, when the Pep Band's able to travel for tournaments and things like that, and Suzanne Samregret is great. She wants these kids to have that experience. She feels that experience is part of the whole athletic program experience. So these people are every bit as important to her as the athletes are. She'll do anything she can for them, as will the university. So the Pep Band does a great job. But I'll tell you what they mean to me. Like we talked about, I get so down when I feel we let our fan base down, which is an extension of our team, a huge extension, like more than I've ever felt anywhere I've been, including at Lake State when we were winning. There was an isolation between the team and the community at Lake State, and I grew up there, but it wasn't entrenched in the community like it is here. And so I feel down, and they lift you up like a parent. You know, we pull over at, I believe it was Rhinelander,
yeah,
to get gas on the way back. I drove back, and some of the Misfits pull in there, and coach, good job. A split is good, coach. A split is good. And I'm like, no. It's, I don't like the winning, and I want performance. Like, I want to know that we gave our best performance and we showed up and we enjoyed the competition of it. But they're like, coach, we'll be good. We'll be there for you next week. We'll be there. You know, they're great. And I listened, you know, I watched the whole game yesterday, marked the whole game yesterday. I got up at about, you know, a little bit before 10 after getting in at 5:30. And I mean, all of a sudden it's 2:00 and I'm listening to goals and listening to scoring chances, and it was like watching the Green Bay game at LA yesterday. You couldn't tell if it was Green Bay at home or LA at home, and it was the same way. Our crowd was, the only thing different was when they scored, you heard a horn, and when we scored, you heard a much louder crowd. So it's great. They're incredible. They're absolutely incredible.
And do you notice that the team noticing them too?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we notice it. We know that they're there. And it was never more evident than last year in the playoffs. Like last year in the playoffs, people would actually want, I bet you we could, like, for some people, they would pay for us to have our people there so they could learn from them. You know, absolutely, we notice that they're there. We feel that they're there, and we would notice if they weren't there.
Coach, Mike Corbett always puts together a good team, and I know they're struggling to get the wins this year, but this weekend he will have his team ready to go. What is his coaching style? What kind of players does he look for to make his best team on the Chargers?
He likes playing an offensive game. He was a forward. Mm-hmm. He likes playing. He likes being creative in that offense. They're evolving some new people in with the graduation of Kessner and those guys, Saulnier, and I mean, they had a little bit of a veteran crew last year, so they're trying to evolve some more players into those roles. But they'll get better and better as the year goes. They're always, I mean, if you look at the end of the year, they seem to always upset somebody that's in the hunt for a playoff position. That I believe it wasn't a couple years ago, like 3 years ago when we tied for the championship. Mankato down there playing them, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and they tied them or something like that. Yeah. So they always, he does a great job. Corbs does a great job with his group, and he's again tries to be on the creative side, let his kids play that way when you watch them. So, and they're always entertaining. If they get great goaltending, they can beat anybody.
And in that building too, you talk about having a competitive edge to it. Corbett certainly does. That guy is all compete. I mean, just talking to him, he loves talking the game of hockey.
Yeah.
And figuring,
he does an excellent job. I think we have great coaches in our league.
All right. Well, it should be good. So Wednesday morning, heading on down, and you'll get a practice in on obviously on Thursday and Friday morning.
Yep. Yep.
And you already have it figured out on who's going to go down.
Well, we have yeah.
For the most part. All right, Coach, we really appreciate it. Want to remind everybody we'll have broadcast on Friday and Saturday night at 7:30 here on Mix 93. The Huskies are not home until Thanksgiving weekend. But get your tickets for that. That'll be against Alaska, and that'll be Friday and Saturday right after Thanksgiving, so kind of a holiday weekend. The Huskies coming back home, home for most of the month of December there.
Yeah, too. We're home until that home and home. Our only away game then will be at Northern, which we'll have a great following for that game as well. So great opportunity to continue to grow as a team. I really enjoy this time with the guys and spending time with them and figuring everything out.
A lot of team bonding going on. So at Alabama. At Alabama Huntsville this weekend, at Ferris State next weekend, at Clarkson in non-conference play the following weekend, and then coming back home for Thanksgiving weekend against Alaska.
Yeah, I want to say one thing. One of the questions I don't think we got to is, do you think this team can win? I absolutely do, and I think we see it. We've seen the performance. We've played Duluth, I would imagine, will be number one in the country. Or number two, but after this weekend, after sweeping Notre Dame, Wisconsin is going to continue to climb in the rankings. We've played two very good teams, and we played them well. If we can get complete buy-in from our group, I absolutely believe that we can compete and challenge for where we want to be by the end of this season. So I do like our group. I think we just have to continue to work as we always do to build the chemistry in the right way and to get the buy-in into a group model instead of away from some individualism. So, but we do really like this team as a staff, and I think you can see it. We're ahead of where we were a year ago at this time. Right now, I think it's just a total buy-in.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. Safe travels. We'll see you in Huntsville in a couple of days.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Head Coach Joe Schott at the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. Thank you for your questions, and we'll do it all over again next Monday right here on Mix 93 WKMJ.